Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Hi there, folks, and welcome to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program and also the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community right here in Sacramento. Normally on these broadcasts, we'd like to bring you a number of special guests to talk about, well, what in the world is ancient future Christian faith? But recently, someone suggested that we at least occasionally play a teaching from a regular Sunday morning at Epiclesis, so you can kind of get an idea about what that's like. So I'd like to bring you a teaching from a couple of Sundays ago, from an ongoing series that we've been looking at in the life of Moses and the children of Israel. So this particular teaching was called, If You Are Pleased With Us. You'll probably remember the story very well, but the particular interpretive lens that we've been looking through at all of the events in the lives of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, their time in the desert, and so on, has been, how does this point to Jesus Christ? And more particularly, how does it point to the Lord's Supper or Communion, Eucharist? So here once again is a teaching called, If You Are Pleased With Us. And by the way, more than anything, I'd just love to have you come visit us and worship with us in person. The Lord be with you.
Would you take your scripture, please, today and turn to Exodus 33. By the way, did you know that the Greek for glory or glorify, the root word is doxa? Doxa. What other liturgical word do you know that has dox in it? Doxology. So a doxology is a song or spoken phrase that talks about and gives glory to God. Doxology. Here's another little thing about glory that you may not know. In Hebrew, glory is the same as weight, heaviness. There's a weight to it. There's a punch. Weight. Glory. Have you ever been in a place, perhaps Christy, it was this way with her this weekend on her retreat, where you're just with the Lord and there's a heaviness there. But it's not dark heaviness, it's good heaviness. The weight of God's glory. There's a precious scene in today's scripture that I want to draw a couple of things out of, and I'm sure you have some insights as well. And it's a piece of scripture that is often paired with transfiguration. Before we dive in, tell me just a little bit about what you know concerning transfiguration. What are we talking about? What event in the life of Christ are we talking about when we're thinking transfiguration? Anybody? Yes, and Jesus was talking to Moses about the exodus he would lead, the great departure that he would lead from Jerusalem. So the word exodus there is used, and it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus is talking to Moses about an exodus. Yeah, Jesus and a few of his disciples, three of his disciples, are on the mountain, and there they see God. Anything else about the transfiguration? Yeah, Dave.
Appearance.
Yeah, talk about glory. Talk about weight. Jesus is transfigured before them. The scripture says, garments of white, whiter than any fuller could bleach fabric. So it was something radiant about that. Good. Anything else? We also hear the voice of God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yes. So much so that Peter says some things that you could interpret as being just a little, what would you say if the glory of God comes down in a cloud? I don't know.
I just will be standing over here, I think.
Or I don't know. It's weighty. It's heavy. Right? So in this particular scene in Exodus, which is very often paired with the scriptures where we see the scene of Jesus' transfiguration, Moses has this remarkable encounter with Yahweh. And I want to start, please, at verse number 12. Let me read a little bit, and I have some ideas for you to think about. But I want you to see, and let's learn from you too, as we share together. Exodus 33, 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Verse 13, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you. Let's just say that one together. Teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, there's that word again. We see it so often in Exodus. Remember that this nation is your people. Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses says in verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Stop just a second. How would you translate that verse? What's another way to say that? I believe that's the ET, the East Tennessee translation, yeah. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with us and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Just sit with that a minute. The Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. What an intimate relationship that Moses has with Yahweh, because I have a feeling that if it were me in that position, I would have been so awestruck that might have been the end of the theophany for me, and that would have been okay. Moses, this marvelous leader who God raised up and who has this very intimate, even tender in some ways, relationship with Yahweh, goes on to say this. Then Moses said, verse 18, now show me your glory. Show me your glory. 19, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness, other translations say glory, to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, but you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. By the way, we're not exactly sure. I've read a number of commentaries this week. There are some places in Exodus where it says that God met with Moses face to face, where they talked with one another as a man would with a friend. So what is it about this verse? Not really sure. No one has a definitive word on that. It could be that God is saying, you can't see me in all of my fullness and live. But in this particular case, in this particular instance, God is not only saying, this you cannot do, but he's also having some compassion on Moses. He's saying, and here's another translation, I will do so, but I'm not going to fry you in the process. You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. So look at verse 21. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you there with my hand and cover me there with his hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Amazing. So many things going on there. Moses says, I know the golden calf thing really made you angry, but these are your people who you brought up out of Egypt. You called them, you formed them, and you are in the process of forming them into a nation. It's your nation. And I know that you would probably like to wipe them off the map. Remember that God said to Moses before he came back down the mountain, now leave me so that my anger may be stirred up and burn against this people. And Moses says, no, no. And now he says, I know that you said, and if you go back a few verses into the previous chapter also, that God decided, I'm not going to go with you. My angel will go before you, but I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to do it because I'm holy and I take this very seriously. And Moses says, No, 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 no. I know that you've said I found favor. I know that you said that. But if your presence isn't going to go with us, we're not going to go either. And on top of that, he says, please show me your glory. Show it to me. Now, back to verse 19. I want to make sure that you saw this as well. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness or my glory to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. Did you catch that? Not only is God going to show his glory, it says all of my glory, to Moses as he passes by, but a miracle upon miracle, joy upon joy, talk about a doxology. God is also going to speak his name, his most intimate name, his unknowable, unsearchable name to Moses right as he passes by. Did you see the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Do you remember that movie? Wonderful movie. Toward the end, there is a place where this monstrous alien spacecraft is hovering over, what's the name of that monument in Devil's Tower, right? Is that in Wyoming? Okay, so it's hovering there, and they, the humans, are having this encounter with this huge alien craft. And if you remember, the way they were communicating back and forth was how? Do you remember? A little musical phrase, right? This particular race of aliens communicated with music, which is always kind of near and dear to my heart. And so this little nerdy guy on a keyboard is, and they're communicating back and forth, and it gets so fast and so complicated that the computers have to take over, and they begin answering one another, the computer and the alien craft, until finally, at the very end, do you remember what happens? The computer sort of comes to the end of its ability to communicate, and the alien craft speaks out the last two notes of that da-bom-bom-bom-bom phrase. Do you remember? What happens when the alien craft does that? It flattens the people, and all of the glass all the way around the place explodes. And they finally realize at that moment, this is a thing that we can't comprehend. We can't contain this. This race of aliens, whatever they are on a whole different planet, literally, than we are. I have a feeling that when God passed by Moses and the glory was there, can you even begin to imagine? I love this piece of art that I've chosen for you today. It is a picture. I don't know that you can see it, but Moses is down on the right, bowing, hands outstretched, and God in his glory is passing by. And if that were not enough, God speaks his name like a thousand, thousand, thousand trumpets. It must have flattened the rocks and shattered the glass if there were any glass panes around. He does what Moses asks. He passes by. He shows him his glory. Now, before I show you a verse or two that I want to compare, would you tell me what you make of that encounter? What are you seeing in there? What's going on? Yes, Richard. Yeah, remember also that names play an important part in covenant relationship. So sometimes when a lesser king or ruler enters into covenant with a greater king or ruler, the greater king will change the name of the subject. It happens all throughout Old Testament history. And in this particular case, the greater king is sharing his intimate name with the lesser ruler or lesser covenantal partner. I want to show you one of my favorite verses. In fact, it's my life verse. And I don't know that I've ever shared it with you before. And it's part of this whole story. Turn to Deuteronomy 31, if you would. We just read where Moses says to God, hey, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go. Don't want to do it. If you ain't going, we ain't going. Fast forward all the way through 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. Why did they do that? Did they get lost? Nope. Why were they in the wilderness 40 years? Somebody tell me, shout it out. Because they wouldn't go claim what was theirs. God promised that he would go with him. He said to Moses in the verses we just read, my presence will go with you. And furthermore, when you get to the promised land, you're going to slay all of these people. Why? Because I'm going to go with you. Yes, Moses, I will. And the people got to the promised land and said, yay, let's go take what's ours. Nope. They were evidently Baptists. I can make fun because I used to be one, because they had a committee meeting and the committee voted. Sounds Presbyterian too in a lot of ways, too. That's almost any church, actually. They had a committee meeting and voted and said, no, we can't possibly do this. And God said, okay, fine. You wander around in the desert until all of your bones are part of it. Then you can go in. Fast forward, we're in Deuteronomy 31 now. And they are on the edge of the promised land, getting ready to go in. But remember that Moses can't go with them because he was supposed to speak to the rock, which would issue forth water. And instead, in his anger, he struck it. He disobeyed. And God said, I promised you that I would go with you the whole way, but you didn't make it. You disobeyed. And so now Joshua is going to go in, and Moses is passing the mantle of leadership from himself to Joshua. You're going to go in. People, you're going to follow Joshua. And in chapter 31, you read this succession speech where Moses goes out and speaks the words to the children of Israel. I'm now 120 years old. I'm no longer able to lead you. I can't go. I want you to see this man, Joshua. Go down to verse 7, please. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. And here's my favorite verse. Here's my life verse, number 8. And I'll bet you that Moses went back in his mind to that glorious day, that weighty day, that heavy day when God's glory came down so heavy and he saw it, because he says to the people, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. Say that with me. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It's kind of the end of the story. Of course, we know that Joshua and the children of Israel cross over, but here's the place where Moses brings it all home and reminds them of that day in the long ago when God says, you can't see me and live. You can't see my essence and survive it. But I will have compassion upon you, and I will let you see my glory, and I'll cover you there with my hand. You know the hymn I'm singing? And covered me there with his hand, and I will pass by. And now Moses reminds them that I'm not going to go with you. You get something better. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Listen, that's a verse you ought to commit to memory. Sarah, when you go into that school tomorrow, into those trenches, and you're back in the battle again for the minds and spirits and hearts and lives of those students, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What are you facing this week? What are you doing in the kingdom? Where is God sending you? Let's remind ourselves that Moses is going about God's work here. He's part of God's story. Let's don't distill this into a Jesus wants you to have a, you know, more fulfilled you life. No, this is connected to God's story. Moses is living out what God wants him to do. He's walking it out. And God promised, I will be with you. Can't see my face and survive it, but I'm going to go with you. Now, I want you to go back to that passage in Exodus in closing. And I don't know how this works, but as I was reading this week, I was really struck that somehow, Epiclesis, we together are supposed to say this. We're supposed to pledge this ourselves. This is supposed to also be for us. Because we have been invited into God's story, because we have proclaimed that he is our God and we are his people, that we are in covenant with him, we're supposed to also make this our prayer. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. So it's that bit right there that I want us to claim, that I want us to make our own, that I want us to pledge before God. If you are pleased with us, teach us your ways so that we may know you and continue to find favor with you. Can you read that with me? If you are pleased with us, teach us your ways so that we may know you and continue to find favor with you. Is that your prayer this morning? It's mine. Is that yours? That's what I want. That's what I want in a church. That's what I want in a community of faith, that we are on a common journey together, walking it out. And God Himself goes before us. That it's not the pastor, or it's not some group of elders or leaders or volunteers who lead us, but it's God Himself. Behold, the Lord Himself will go before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That's what I want in a family of faith. I bet you do too. I'd like for you to stand with me. And if it's possible, I'd love for you to memorize this little phrase. So it's half of verse 13. If you are pleased with us, teach us your ways. Say that much from memory. If you are pleased with us, teach us your ways. Okay, you got that. The next bit is, so we may know you and continue to find favor with you. So we may know you and continue to find favor with you. All right, try the whole thing from memory. If you are pleased with us, teach us your ways, so we may know you and continue to find favor with you. All right, if this is your prayer, if this is what you want for you and for us, then I invite you to pray this with me. So we're going to open our palms up in that ancient posture of prayer. And this isn't to me, it's not to the church, it's to the Lord God of hosts who knows you by name. So Heavenly Father, listen to us now as we pray with one heart and voice. If you are pleased with us, teach us your ways, so we may know you and continue to find favor with you. Amen. Would you be seated? How in the world can we know God? How in the world can we see His face? How in the world can we see His essence? God told Moses, you can't see my essence and live. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Get ready to get excited. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Then God's Word says, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Jesus Christ, we have seen the Father, and His glory is heavy. And in response, we sing and pray a doxology.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate His second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings starting after Thanksgiving, but also please join us for a special and unique service of Advent scripture readings and carols on Sunday night, November 30th at 6 p.m. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.